News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Russian President Vladimir Putin and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky look set potentially for a peace summit following yesterday's meeting between Donald Trump, President Zelensky and the European leaders, centering largely now on securing long-term security guarantees for Kyiv. And here with the latest on that is James Waterhouse, BBC Ukraine correspondent. Good morning to you, James. For people maybe who weren't following it very closely yesterday, can you just explain what exactly happened?
Well, yesterday we had an extraordinary gathering at the White House so soon after Donald Trump met with Vladimir Putin last Friday in Alaska, which sent nervous shockwaves, I would suggest, across Ukraine and its European neighbours that Donald Trump might possibly be aligning with the Kremlin once more in the striving for a peace deal. But they were there at the White House yesterday, where, in a departure from President Zelensky's last appearance at the Oval Office, where he had a very public row with Donald Trump and, you know, effectively came under attack, they were all smiles. Donald Trump was in a receptive mood. Zelensky and Trump met one-on-one before being joined by his European friends. And we are told that there has been progress in terms of what a peace deal could look like. Europe still wants a ceasefire, but Trump impatiently wants the war to end, the lasting agreement. We are told that the US would be willing to provide what are called security guarantees to Ukraine, some kind of military assurance if Russia was to start its war once more. And I think he's agreed to do that for two reasons. Firstly, Ukraine and Europe have promised to buy tens of billions of dollars worth of American equipment, and America's invested in Ukraine's drone manufacturing. But also, the White House says that Vladimir Putin would accept America's involvement in Ukraine's security going forward, which is a change, because until now, the US has ruled out any kind of boots on the ground as part of a longer term peace plan. The Kremlin still says NATO troops in Ukraine is a non-starter, but that takes us to these proposed meetings, a face-to-face meeting between Volodymyr Zelensky and Vladimir Putin that we're told could happen within 2 weeks.
Okay. So NATO off the table, an American security guarantee that we're being told that Putin would be willing to accept on the table. How secure, in your view, James, would Ukraine be if that was what was underwriting their security?
If America has an active role, a stake in the security pledges that underpin any kind of peace deal, then it has a shot. Now, that's not to say that if Russia was to reignite its invasion, which is likely when you consider Vladimir Putin is in legacy mode and lack of evidence suggesting that his goals in Ukraine have changed or his views of Ukraine have changed. But if he was to reignite his invasion and invade again, Europe would want to step in, but it still needs the military might of America. And I think with the unpredictability of this current White House administration, it's as good as it's going to be for Ukraine. It's the only way it has a shot at retaining its independence, albeit with a huge dent to its territory.
James, Europe's role here, Trump has said that they are going to have to carry some of the burden too. What do you think in practical terms that that means?
Boots on the ground and purchasing US weapons on behalf of Ukraine. We have seen this so-called coalition of the willing, haven't we? These are European allies drawing up plans saying, look, we are going to bring what they call a reassurance force. But there are question marks over their collective capability to do that, not least with reduced troop numbers, reduced defence spending in recent years. They have tried to address that, you know, under pressure from Donald Trump, with defence spending in most NATO members going up to 5% of GDP, which has improved relations. But it harks back to the inescapable fact that they need America and the speed and scale it can produce weaponry to underwrite any assurance they might be able to provide.
Okay, so to summarise all of that aspect of this, are we saying thoughts or hopes of NATO membership gone, Crimea gone, and then literally we're looking at a US security guarantee and some kind of a movable border in the East. Is that what we're probably boiling this down to at this point?
Trump said yesterday getting Crimea back is not happening. It's certainly not looking likely militarily for Ukraine. And clearly there is going to have to be some kind of freezing of the conflicts along the so-called contact line. You're going to hear a lot about land swaps,
yeah,
which is a Russian proposal, and Ukraine is resisting this because they're saying, how can you swap Ukrainian land, which Russia doesn't have, for more Ukrainian land, yeah, that it has taken? We haven't got that same currency.
Something of a euphemism, you might say, land swap. Can I ask you just lastly, where to from here now? Obviously, Trump has spoken to Putin since. There's going to be more meetings. But in terms of a timeline, what do you expect to see happen?
If we go on what Donald Trump says, and he is the catalyst to this whole process, right? I do think we will see a face-to-face. Equally, I think Vladimir Putin is under his own pressures to keep engaging in this process, to relieve sanctions and to improve his own relationship with Washington. But if things fall down, if Russia drags its feet and allows its invasion to continue, Europe will be in chorus calling for America to follow through with its threat of more sanctions, more tariffs for Russia's trading partners. The question is whether the US president will be finally willing to do it.
James Waterhouse, BBC Ukraine correspondent, thank you very much for joining us.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.